Again, it's always good to see everyone who has come out to the meeting today. We want to take a look at a passage in the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 43. And verse 11, I want to pull out a key verse from this chapter here that will apply to the gospel today, Isaiah 43, verse 11. This is God speaking. He says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I. Go ahead and drop down verse 25. This is the Lord speaking again. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. That's an incredible thing for God to say. He would blot out our transgressions and remember not our sins. What I want to take a look at today is, first of all, if we take a look at this chapter, the first 21 verses of this chapter, God is pouring out to the children of Israel his promises, one promise after another, and how he has been with them and how he has blessed them and how he continues to be with them and to bless them. But he gets down to verse 22, and God, as it were, begins to unfold, you might say, some complaints that he has against the children of Israel, things that they weren't doing right. And even though that God had done all of these things for them from verses 1 all the way down to verse 21, God says that the children of Israel were still sinning in his sight. You take a look there in verse Isaiah 43, verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me. And as you take a look at these, before I get into this really quick, there's sins of things that we do, and then there are sins of things that we don't do. I think about it like the law. There, you can break the law by doing certain things, like by running a red light. You ran a red light, you broke the law. You made a right turn where it said no turn on red, okay, so you broke the law. See, you can break the law by doing things. You go over the speed limit, you did that, you broke the law. You can break the law by not doing things. For example, try not filing for taxes, okay? You break the law by not doing things, okay? And try ignoring a jury notice that comes in the mail, okay? By ignoring the jury notice, you're breaking the law by not doing things. So my point is this. We understand in a legal system that we're working with today, all around us, that we can break the law by doing things and by not doing things. But you come here to God's law, and the children of Israel, as they're being analyzed by the holy eye of God, most of these transgressions that are being listed here from verses 22 to verse 24 are complaints that God has against the children of Israel, not necessarily for what they're doing wrong, but for what they're not doing in their lives. Take a look at them for a sec here. Thou hast not called upon me. Does it mean they were lacking prayer? Well, they probably were praying and probably going through all of the ritualistic procedures of prayer. However, they lacked that relationship with God, that fervor and that connection with the Lord as they were praying. It was all just becoming some sort of a religious habit to them. It says, O Jacob, in the same verse, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. That's a sin. Where the children of Israel were just starting to get tired of the things of God. You ever considered that? You get tired of reading your Bible. You get tired of coming to meeting. You get tired of enjoying the things of God. And you just think, I'm tired of that. I just don't want any more of that. That's sin. That offends God. Isn't that incredible? When the attitude of our heart is, well, you know, I'm just getting overburdened with too many these things of God. I don't want to go to Sunday school anymore. I don't want to go to gospel meeting anymore. I don't want to read my Bible anymore. Just that attitude. God sees that as a sin, and he's pointing it out to the children of Israel. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. And then he continues on there in verse 23. Thou hast brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. In other words, see, cattle would be the livelihood, and the valuable stuff is what God was asking for, and the most valuable part of their flock and their herds where that would God says, you need to put that onto the altar. But because it threatened their livelihood, they said, no, we don't want to give God the best. We want to give God second best. And God was saying, listen, I'm God. I deserve the best in your life, and you're not doing it. And so your lack of being able to step up to the plate in this area is a sin, as God has seen it. In continuing on in verse 23, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. And it carries on there. And the Lord is weary with a sin that they have. And then in verse 24, it talks about how that they would reduce the quality of the incense that would come and be offered before the Lord. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with honey. You see, the high quality incense cost money, and they didn't want that. And they didn't want to give God that. And so consequently, they were holding back. And God's sitting there, and he's saying, you've sinned there too. So as you look at these verses here and you translate it into today, we can also say, you know, we've fallen short of the glory of God too. Think about your life. I think about my life. And I look under the examining eye of God. Truly, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of God's standards. Maybe not necessarily because we're doing a whole bunch of bad things, but if for no other reason, we're not doing certain things that God has asked us to. Can I name one principal thing? If you're not saved today and you don't know your sins forgiven, God has asked you to come to know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a relationship with him. It doesn't cost any money. It's totally free. This one thing God has asked, and as a person continues to reject Christ as their own personal Savior, they continue to sin against God. Again, not a sin of something they did, but rather a sin of something they did not do, and that's in not accepting Christ. How serious is that sin? A person who doesn't get saved lands up in a real place called hell, and that for eternity. That's a pretty serious sin. That's a very serious sin. So God is now listing their need for having their sins blotted out, as it would say there in verse 25. So the first thing we're looking at here is the need for blotting out our sins. Have you ever had somebody just get under your skin? I can raise my hand on that one. Somebody gets under your skin or gets you aggravated or annoyed or offended or something like that. I know what that is. And you just get aggravated and it consumes you. You know, we as human beings, when we sin against God, we're annoying, we are aggravating God and provoking his anger. And if we could get angry with one another and we can be consumed with that kind of anger, the Bible tells us that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we can't use our anger to straighten things out. The Bible makes that clear in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 20. But God has a holy anger. God can get angry without sinning. And to get God angry, what it must be like to have God as your enemy and to get God angry, and he gets all, you know, offended by sins. Have you ever had somebody offend you and then they do something and then you tell them and then they do it again and you tell them and they do it again and then you just get to... How many times could God do that with your life and do that with my life too? I tried to teach him and he did it again, and I tried to teach him and he did it again, and this is frustrating. Now, I got to thinking about something not too long ago. Every once in a while, I have a bright thought. It's not very often. But I thought, you know, from God's perspective, he's not just teaching one generation of people his ways. How many generations after generations after generations after generations has he been teaching the exact same things, and they've been keep on ignoring or not learning or putting to one side or not paying attention to? How aggravating this must become to God as on a continual basis, man, generation after generation, doesn't fulfill and practice within their lives God's way and God's will for their life. God, I mean, for 6,000 years from the time that Adam fell in sin, Adam and Eve fell in sin, God has been working with mankind. How frustrating this would become. And so we get over here, you know, the camel the straw that breaks a camel's back, it can be just a little thing, and then we just explode because of all of the other things that preceded that event. By the time God gets down to verse 24 of this chapter, God could very well put in verse 25, look at verse 25 for just a second. God very well could have said, I am he who will judge you. for what you've done. I mean, if it was me, I think that's what I would have put there. I will tear you apart. You remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? I'm going to do that. I'm because I'm fed up with all of this haphazard lifestyle that you have. God could have come and said, I'm going to just destroy you. But don't you find it amazing that God, who knows the severity of sin, uses these words, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. That right there amazes me. It amazes me. God, who understands, and he being the only one who could truly understand the full depth of what sin is and means and its consequence, God's the only one who can fully understand that. I can't. I mean, just scratching the surface is aggravating enough to me. But God understands it in its totality. Sinner in the meeting today, God understands you and your sin and in all of its totality. And yet he comes into the sinner and he says, listen, I have a desire to just blot out your transgressions. Can I ask you just a very personal question today if you're not saved? God is the one who blots out transgressions. Do you have a desire to have him blot yours out? What does it mean to blot? I want you to consider not only the need of blotting out the transgressions, I want you to consider the source of blotting out transgressions. To blot means to totally erase and leave no evidence. That's the idea of blotting out. Totally erase your sins and your transgressions and leave no evidence behind. I want you to not consider only the need of your sins being blotted out, but I want you to look at the source. What does he say in the beginning of the verse 25? I. When it comes to the question of your sin and my sin against God, it's something that offends God, but God doesn't delegate out the forgiving of your sins. He says, I will blot out your transgressions. God does not delegate it out to some priest that you have to go and confess to, and then the priest then forgives you of your sins. Or God doesn't delegate it out to some official in a religious system. And that's one of the reasons why here we don't have an altar where you can come up and you bow down and then you confess your sins and all of that. We don't have that. Why? Because God says, I. He's the one who forgives you of your sins. I can't forgive you of your sins. Nobody else can forgive you of your sins. The source of forgiveness comes from Christ, from God, and God alone. He says, I. Blot out your transgressions. Think about this for a second. It's God you've offended. Therefore, it has to be God who forgives. I've used this example in my Sunday school class before, but can you imagine a kid on the playground and he comes right up to you and he just socks you in the face real hard and you fall on the floor and he runs away? Well, later that kid feels really bad that he socked you in the face really hard. So he goes to somebody else and he says, I'm so sorry. Some other friend on the playground. He goes up to some other friend on the playground, so sorry. And the other friend says, what are you sorry about? Well, I hit Johnny in the face. Well, the other friend is going to say, well, what are you telling me for? You got to go tell Johnny. You got to go tell him, the person that you hit in the face, because you offended him. It's him you got to ask for forgiveness. It's him you got to ask for saying, I'm sorry. It doesn't work if you go to somebody else. It's the same thing with our sins. Our sins are against God. Our transgression is against God. And if we go to somebody else and we ask them for forgiveness, it doesn't make any sense. God says, I. It's him who blots out the transgressions, who forgives us of our sins. Do you want forgiveness of your sin? Do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want to know what it is to have a home in heaven? Your only source is Christ. It's not me, it's not anybody here, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who can forgive you of your sin. Just really quickly, I just want to explain why God is so angry with sin. God is angry and upset with sin due to the fact that he can see exactly what it does. Sin affects us not only spiritually, because that's where we think of it most of the time. Sin is so permeating that it affects us physically as well. Your body, your actual physical body. You know you have to grow old and get wrinkles and then eventually die because of sin? It's because of sin. Are you upset with the image you see in the mirror? You're not as good looking as you think you are or could have been if it wasn't for the fact that you're a sinner. Sin affects you. We have to die. Literally, it affects our physical being. The Bible talks about the fact that the whole earth groans under the weight of sin. It affects physical, tangible things that are all around us. It affects the physical world. So you and I have to die. A rose will never be able to be as beautiful as God originally intended because it's been tainted by sin itself. See, the physical world around you and me has been tainted by sin. Heaven hasn't been tainted by sin, though. And the master designer who put this world together also designed heaven. And it's going to be beautiful because there's no taint of sin there. Sin is so powerful that it affects the physical. Sin is so powerful that it affects the emotional. People get addicted to sin. Sin is something that we do just as natural as a dog barks or a fish will swim. Sin is that which will affect the emotional as well and cause one's emotions to be called out toward it. God didn't make us that way. God didn't make us that way in his original plan. But sin affects the emotional. Sin affects the spiritual. From having everlasting life in a relationship with God to being dead in trespasses and sin and having everlasting death and damnation in a place called hell and a lake of fire. See, friend, in the meeting today, understand that sin is something that affects every aspect of your life and it touches every aspect of your life. And yet God comes in and says, listen, I have forgiveness of your sins. I can blot your sins out. I have the ability to blot your sins out. Do you want that? Do you want God's forgiveness? Do you want God to blot it out? Those of us who are saved are thankful for the time in our lives when we came to know Christ as our personal Savior and our sins were entirely blotted out. They were entirely erased from God's record book. They're gone. And if God opens up the book to look at my sins, he's only going to see blank pages. There's nothing there. Why? Because all my sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God hath blotted out my transgressions. You know, sometimes as Christians, we sing this hymn. I have been at the altar and witnessed the Lamb burnt holy to ashes for me and watched its sweet savor ascending on high, accepted, O Father, by thee. And lo, while I gazed at the glorious sight, a voice from above reached my ears. By this, that's the cross work of Christ, thine iniquities taken away, and no trace of it on thee appears. An end of thy sin has been made for thee here by him, that's the Lord, who its penalty bore. With blood it is blotted eternally out, and I will not remember it more. Did you know God has a book in heaven, and it's got your name right here in the front? And inside of that book, he writes down everything that you've done today. Every thought that you've ever had, every emotion you ever experienced, every deed that you've ever done, God keeps a record of everything in your life, and all of your sins are written down in that book. God has a record of it. And those who do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior someday will stand before a great white throne judgment, and that's one of the books that will be opened as evidence. God stands back and says, you thought nobody was watching, but I logged everything that you did. You're guilty, and I have a holy eye, and I hate sin. And because of the fact that you're guilty and it's recorded in this book, you have to go to a real place called hell in the lake of fire. That's a solemn thought. But I want to tell you, God says, I, blotting out your transgressions. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that book can be made clean and all my sins taken away and there's no charge against me and I'm on my way to heaven. Isn't that amazing that after God, who knows all of my sins, he can say, listen, I will still provide everlasting life for you. Friend, in the meeting today, stop and think, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? I remember when, a year ago this month, my grandmother went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And you know what gave peace in that household, among everybody in that family, including herself, was she knew Christ as her own personal Savior. And we walked into that home. It wasn't a morbid scene. And my grandmother wasn't sad or bothered. She always had a smile on her face and she had peace within her heart because she knew she was ready to go. She was ready to go. And I remember her laying there on the bed and she was looking at me and she said, Glenn, the Lord has given me a good 87 years of life and he has really blessed me. He said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I remember Sebastian looking down at her and saying, "Goodbye, Granny. We'll see you in heaven." By that time, she already had her eyes closed, and we didn't know if she was coherent or not at that point. But when he said those words, she opened her eyes wide, and she made a big expression of smile on her face. Even in a time when we thought she was totally incoherent, she understood what that meant. "We'll see you in heaven." And she just brightened right up. You know why? Because she knows that God one day came in and blotted out all of her sin. And you know what convicted her of the fact that she was a sinner? What convicted her was the fact that she had told her mom a lie. Something so small. But boy, that struck home, and the Holy Spirit of God made it rest heavy upon her heart to realize, "I'm a sinner, and I need my sins blotted out." And as a little girl, she came to know Christ as her personal Savior. And it was a theme of her life right until she died and went into eternity. There was peace in the heart of the family. Why? She knew Christ as her own personal Savior. There was peace in her own heart. Why? She knew Christ as her own personal Savior. There was a day when she took care of matters with God. Have you taken care of matters with God? Are you ready to go? You say, "Oh, 87 is so far out there." You may not live to be 20. You may not live to be 30. You may not live to be 50. You don't know. You could die tomorrow. Then what? Where's all the priorities? Then you would be in eternity. And once a person has crossed that line and they're in eternity, there is now no hope. God doesn't offer a person who has already died salvation. He doesn't say, "Okay, now it's time for you to have your transgressions blotted out." And there is no such thing as going into purgatory and having your sins cleansed. No, there is no such thing in the Bible. You say, "It's in the Catholic Bible." No, it's not. You can read through the Catholic Bible if you want. You're not going to find it there. And the verses that they pull for it are actually stretched. It's not even there. There's no such thing as dying and then paying off some of your sins so that you can eventually go to heaven. Those who have gone off into a real place called hell are in hell forever. And God does tell us in Luke chapter 16 that there's a great gulf fixed between hell and heaven. And those who are up here cannot pass down there. And those who are down there cannot pass up there. There is no such thing as paying off your sins in hell. And then once they're paid off in millions or billions of years, then you go to heaven. I'll tell you where the problem with that is. There is no such thing as time in hell. So how do you know you've been there a million or a billion years? It's eternity. Time is not marked. There's no such thing as paying it off in hell. You say, "Well, then why does God send a person down to hell?" I'll tell you why. For one main reason. They've taken the message of God's love and grace, called the message of salvation, called the gospel, called "I want to blot out your sins." And they've said, "Not today. I don't want it." It's the sin of not doing as opposed to the sin of doing. And that is a principal reason why people go to hell. They reject Christ's offer of salvation. God today in mercy and grace presents to you the lifeboat on a life that is a sinking ship. He says, "Listen, I have the lifeboat. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's your responsibility to get in. It's your responsibility to accept it by faith and know that your sins can be blotted out." God says he wants to blot your sins out. You could do it right now, right where you're sitting. You say, "How is that?" Just take God at his word. Just take God as his word. He said he wanted to blot out my sins. And if God said he was going to blot out my sins, then you know what? I'll just take that. And I'll trust what he says. My sins erased. That easy? It sure is. Cost nothing? Cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything, but it costs you nothing. It's totally free. You can accept him as your Savior even today. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the gospel. We are grateful for a message that rings true. The Lord Jesus Christ has died and paid for all of our sin at the cross of Calvary. We thank thee that we don't have to pay for any of it, and that those of us who are saved can say that our book of sin is completely washed in the blood of the Lamb. John could say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," not just covering it up, but totally blotting it out. And Lord, we thank thee that the source of this salvation, the Word of God tells us, even I, it's thyself. And we're grateful that thou art a reliable source who can never remember our sin again, but to write our name down in the book of life as those who will join that chorus one day as we will gather around the Lamb. Lord, we thank thee for salvation and for this gospel that's been given to us, and we pray for those who are not saved that in simplicity they may be able to accept it even today. So we put this in thy hands, in thy son's precious name. Amen.